Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is on a mission to combat climate change by keeping clothing out of the landfills and also providing alternative options to fast fashion, all in a 1997 converted school bus. Please welcome the owner of Canyon Couture, Sarah Bartlett. What's going on, Sarah?
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
You're very, very welcome. I really appreciate it. I know you've been doing a lot of traveling. I know you're back in town, which I was super excited to see, starting to do the market season. So I appreciate you spending some time with me during my lunch break. My usual first question usually is, what's your go-to lunch or sandwich?
My go-to sandwich would be the Papa Joe from Jason's Deli.
Nice.
It's delicious.
Okay. I love it.
I can't get enough of it.
That's
hot
a good one.
Sandwiches. It's got to be hot.
Where in Orlando is there a Jason's Deli?
There's one in Altamont. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I absolutely love that. I've been super intrigued by your story. I've been following you on social, and so that was like one of these things where I wanted to take the chance to get an opportunity to kind of have you share your story, because I think it's so cool everything that you've done about it. So can we talk a little bit about Canyon Couture, like why did you decide to start it? And then we'll tackle the whole bus, how the heck the bus situation came and how you decided to do all that. But give people a little bit of an idea of what it is and kind of how it started.
Yeah, it started kind of unintentionally, honestly. So I was in college and I was majoring in economics. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I thought, okay, I'll major in some sort of business sector and then I can kind of figure it out later. And then COVID hit, got sent home. There was literally nothing to do except thrift. Like thrift stores were like the only thing that was open. And so I was thrifting just because I like to sew as a hobby. And, you know, I'd always find stuff that I saw value in, but it didn't fit me or, you know, I didn't really need it. So I would just leave it there. And eventually I kind of was like, maybe I should start selling it on eBay. Like I bet this hat, like the first thing I ever sold was a hat. And I was like, I feel like somebody would want this. And I told my friend, I was in a trip to the Grand Canyon. I was like, I'm going to sell this hat for like $200. Watch. And like, I sold it for like $300 on eBay the next week.
And what kind of hat was it?
It was like this velvet, like beaded beret.
Okay.
Yeah, it was really interesting. I just thought it was cool. I didn't know anything about it, but yeah, it sold on eBay. Guess it was some designer brand. So that kind of got me started because I was already at thrift stores all the time anyways. So I just started picking up things here and there and like listing them on eBay just kind of as a hobby to make some extra cash. I was a waitress, so anything helped. So yeah. Throughout COVID, I kind of did that. When I got back into school, I worked at a thrift shop and they had like a little section where you could rent a space and essentially kind of like consign your things. And so I did that and started selling there, and it ended up being more than I was actually making at the thrift store working there. So then I had that for like a year and a half, and my eBay name became my little name in the storefront. And then after college, I didn't know what to do, but I didn't want a brick and mortar. So this brings in the bus. Like, a brick and mortar was going to be way too much overhead. Like, I was a broke college student and I didn't know what location I wanted to be in. And so I wanted something that was really mobile. And I thought, people do this for food trucks, so I might as well make a food truck for clothes. Nobody was really doing that at the time. So
yeah, you definitely have made it. The mobile boutique is definitely very, very awesome. And a few things that I kind of, from what I've kind of learned from you, and at least from reading other things when I was researching, which I had no clue about. One of the big things that I love about what you're doing with your brand is that you're refashioning stuff that you find in thrift stores. But one of the main reasons why you do it is also because of the fact that, and I had no idea that this about like 80% of the stuff that's actually at these thrift stores end up going to the landfill. I had no clue about that whatsoever. That's like really like kind of like
it's really like actually scary numbers. I wish I had my business plan on me because it has all my statistics. But because I was an economics major, I had the opportunity to participate in this business pitch challenge in college. And
From
so,
Samford University,
yeah, Samford
Bulldogs, right?
University.
Bulldogs.
Yeah. in like it's some small school in Alabama, super random. But yeah, I got to participate in this business pitch competition. So I wrote up this entire like 50-page long business plan and did a lot of research into textile waste and the fashion industry and pollution and all of that. And from working at a thrift store, I saw firsthand, you know, like truly 80% of what we put out on the shelves, then we pulled off the shelves and then put into like pallets that were then compressed and then shipped overseas.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
That
yeah,
that's
I know a while ago there was like this thing on TikTok where people are like, you're gentrifying thrift stores, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I'm just like, I wish people would do more research on it because
Yeah.
if they did, they would see that really so much of it is just being thrown away or like Goodwill incinerates it, I'm pretty sure. So,
That's
yeah, it's just sad.
yeah, it's absolutely nuts. So can you give me a little bit of an idea of like what is it what I mean, obviously you have an eye for it because your first purchase was that. But what do you look for when you're going through a thrift store? Because the cool thing is like, and we'll talk about obviously the tie dress because obviously I'm very intrigued by that as well. But I want to know more about like what is it that captures your eye that says, "Ooh, I like this," and then I can add these elements because that's something that I noticed. Like you basically will use different parts. Like, oh, found this from an old costume, and I did this, and now I'm going to add to this. So tell people a little bit about kind of where that mindset. Like, what would you envision it? Like, what do you? I'm just kind of curious of that creative process about it.
Yeah, well, it honestly starts from me just having a background in sewing. Like, I've been sewing since I was a kid. And so, throughout the rise of fast fashion, I've noticed just how much the clothing has deteriorated in quality. And so, now that everything's made of polyester and really cheaply produced, it's so obvious to me as a seamstress what is going to be good quality and what's not. And so for me, I will like walk down the aisle of the thrift store. I won't even really look at anything until I like feel a texture that I
Okay.
know like this is real denim, this is cotton, this is like a good quality material or it's made well. And so like anything that is constructed really well, made out of mostly natural materials. I like natural materials, but if it's just like a decent quality material, then I'll take it and I'll transform it because I don't want to pass on to my customers anything that's like gonna fall apart in five washes.
No,
Like I
that
want
makes
them to be able to enjoy it for 10 years, you know?
Like and which is that which is kind of like when you look at your parents' clothes or even your grandparents'
Yeah.
clothes, like it's amazing how that stuff still holds up through the years. So you brought up the pitch competition. My understanding is you won the pitch competition and then used the money to then buy
Yeah.
the bus.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because I bought the bus before I even entered the competition. Like I knew I was gonna do this. But I was really kind of banking on winning the competition in order to fund it. So I kind of took a leap of faith. At the end of my pitch, I was like, look, I have this bus, this is in progress, and you can come along for the journey or not. Like either way, it's happening. I'd really love if you could help me out and then I got lucky and won it. So it worked out.
And then did you find the bus? 'Cause you went to school in Alabama. So was the bus in Alabama where you found it, or was it in
No.
Florida,
The
or
bus was
where
in
was it?
Florida.
Okay.
So, I mean, so much research went into everything. And I, even just like the location of where I wanted to buy the bus, I knew that I couldn't buy it anywhere that got cold or salted the roads because then it rusts. So, I really wanted to find one in Florida. Or like
Okay.
anywhere like below kind of like Georgia, Alabama area and below.
Gotcha. And obviously, I know that you went and you've kind of done, you did all the work on it. So, like, my question then is, did you have experience with this? Was it just like a lot of YouTube? Did you have, I mean, I'm assuming you had family and friends that probably could help. 'Cause I mean, it was you mean you really made it into something really cool. But it
Thank
also
you.
obviously must have been a lot of work to be able to pull
Yeah.
off. So tell me a little bit about that, Cole. Aspect of I guess having a tribe or a community to kind of help you kind of do that.
Yeah, no, I definitely could not have done it without support from my friends and family. Like I bought it in January. I was still in school. And so it was in Florida and I would come home every weekend I could to work on it. And during that period of time, my parents were a big help. They helped me gut it. And so when I was at school, like I helped a little bit, but they really got all the seats out so that it was ready, like a clean slate for me to come work on. And then when I graduated, I was pretty much my 9 to 5 job. I mean, I parked it at my dad's office building. They're really nice and let me park it there. And they had like a wood shop that I was able to use. They build a lot of sets, and so they had a wood shop, which was just like such a blessing. And so I would just go into work with him every day, like 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and just work all the time. But on weekends, my whole family would come out. They'd help me with it. I'd have my friends all come out and help me. So, I mean, I think everybody I know had a role to play, like somehow in building the bus or cleaning it or peeling stickers off the sides. Yeah, there was a lot of work to do on that thing.
How long did it take you from the time you got it to, and obviously there was time in between because of school and things like that, but like how long did it take you from the time you bought it to the part you were like, okay, I'm ready to start selling out of it?
Yeah, I bought it in January and I was operational by August.
Okay, that's great.
So
That's
yeah,
really good.
it wasn't bad. I didn't install plumbing, which I think would have been probably a longer thing to do. That would have added some time, but I do have electrical, so pretty much everything but plumbing I did.
And was the intention, I know the intention, obviously it's mobile, so that way you're able to go and do different markets and different things. But you're also, when you, is the idea that when you do that, because I know you've traveled with it and I know you've gone to locations with it, like, but then is it kind of like you're living slash also selling at it when you're when you do those events?
Well, at first, I honestly, like, when I came up with the idea, I thought I would be living in it and selling in it and traveling across the country. Like, that was kind of my
Yeah.
plan, but nothing ever really goes according to your plan, as I'm sure you know with your business. You know, you
Yeah.
constantly got to pivot. And like, there's a lot of red tape to work through. And so, going state to state wasn't going to work out with licensing and insurance and all of that. And just the fact that the bus goes 45 miles per hour. So, like,
Yeah.
it wasn't going to work to drive across the country. And honestly, like, after having done a few events in it, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to live in this either because it's 200 square feet. And right now it's full of all my merchandise. How am I going to cook in here? I don't know.
Yeah, no, and that's
So.
some, those are things that I actually thought of when I saw, when I was looking at it. I was like, man, am I, how is she gonna pull that off and to be able to live off of it? And I knew you didn't have a bathroom in it, so that was kind of one of those. But I mean, it's a, definitely an amazing. Tell people a little bit about the reactions you get when you pull up to an event and you're like, and you have, because you have, you kind of have stuff for like the outside to kind of start setting up. But the beauty of your store is that you, everything in there is stuff that you've either created. So like, I know the home decor is stuff that you've kind of created. I know you've done like sneakers, and things like that. So you kind of like everything that's in there, you've had a part in it in either creating it or reimagining it to be able to sell it.
Yeah, some of the things I create totally from scratch, all like using recycled materials, and then a lot of things I'll upcycle using other things. And then if I don't fully rework it, you know, I sew the buttons back on, I sew up tears and the vintage clothes. I like to call everything else fun and funky. So I'm not very much stuck to brand names. I don't look for brands. I just look for quality. I look for interesting, cool, unique things that I think other people would like to.
That, so let's talk about one of the things that first caught my eye, and I know that it went kind of viral. I think you're, because you made it as a gift for your sister, I think. Let's talk about this tie dress. Is this, where did you get this idea? Is this something that you had caught on and you had seen and you're like, oh, I think I can do this? But talk about the tie dress and what it is and how that kind of came about.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, like I said, I've been sewing forever. And since I was a kid, I always thought that it'd be so cute to make a skirt out of ties. And I totally forgot about it until I found, like, 100 ties somewhere. I don't know. I'm at thrift stores, estate sales, whatever, all the time. I found them and I was like, oh my gosh, I remember I wanted to make a skirt out of these. So I just bought them. Like, normally I don't like to spend a lot of money. Like, I'm a small business owner. I don't have a lot of extra expenses to go out and buy, you know, 50 $10 ties to just experiment with. But since they were all there and They were really cheap. I was like, I'm just gonna buy them all and see what I can do with it. And I made myself a dress first, so it was just for me. And I put them all together, made a skirt, but then I was like, this looks cuter as a dress. So then I turned it into a dress, put some little straps on it, and it actually turned out really cute. And so I just thought, oh, you know, my sister, she really likes like sort of preppy things. I feel like this would be a great Christmas gift. So I made her one out of yellow and blue. Her name's Kate Bartlett. She's like, you know, big on TikTok. So, but I didn't really expect much from it. So I just made her one for Christmas, sent it to New York. Merry Christmas. And then she posted a video on it, I think sometime in February. And it got like several million views, I want to say. And then I just got swamped.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of like your family helping, like your grand, it looked like your grandparents and everybody was just like
Yeah.
figuring it out. I mean, I think it's amazing just because I'm like, well, I went to like an all boy school, all boy prep school, so like I had to wear ties all the time. So like I have so many ties, and I hate wearing ties. So it was funny just seeing like the bags and bags of ties, and then you trying to figure out patterns.
Yeah.
And then seeing on your website like all those different tie dresses, and like I keep showing it to all my friends who I think like any of my friends who I think would appreciate it. I was like, hey, I think you would actually like this. She's going to be a guest on my show. And so it was, that's one of those things where I was like, man, I'm like, what an amazing and really creative idea of like repurposing old ties and making what I mean, a beautiful dress.
Thank
You know,
you.
and it's awesome. So
It
I
really
was.
is, I think, the epitome of my brand because
Yeah.
it's taking something that, well, first of all, since COVID, not a lot of people go into the office anymore. And
Correct.
then just today's, you know, corporate culture, nobody really wears ties to work anymore. So they're just piling up at thrift stores and then nobody's buying them because nobody's wearing them. So it's like all of this high quality fabric just sitting there. Or just being thrown away because nobody knows what to do with them. And so then I like can make a 100% silk dress out of these, and it's like something entirely new. So it's really like I love it. And so I like recently, I don't know if you saw, but I just launched Unprofessional. So that's kind of
Yes.
my new line of clothes that the tie dress is like inspired by the tie dress. So it's going to
Okay.
be all sorts of things that are kind of taking a twist on what you might wear at the office. So,
How long does it take you to make a tie dress?
like 5 hours for one.
Okay. Yeah, because I
Yeah.
mean, there's a lot. I mean, I've seen how you do it. You have to like kind of like everything from the stitching and then opening it
Yeah.
up and then being able to line them all up and doing all of that.
You'd be
Yeah.
surprised. It's like the sewing takes a while, but also just sourcing the ties. Finding ties that are like cohesive together. And then the most frustrating part is you'll get like a pattern you really like. You'll tear them apart, you'll iron them all flat, and then you'll see a big mustard stain, like, or a big oil stain, like right
Yeah.
around the neck from like years of sweat. So then you have to
Oh.
throw that tie out, and then you have to go source another tie. And so it's quite the process that people don't really see.
What? So obviously, what have been some of the challenges that you've kind of had to deal with like starting this business and doing this right now? Like, what has been like, have you had any major challenges in the last few
Yeah.
years? Tell
Yeah,
me a little bit about them.
I'm sure you know as a business owner, like as well, anybody who knows has a small business will tell you it's like constantly a challenge. So it's definitely been a lot of hard work since the beginning. I started off really strong in 2021 with the economy was kind of good. Markets were really like popular because there was nothing else open except to go to markets. So business there was really great. And then since then, it's kind of been this like decline with the economy. People don't have quite as much money to spend on impulse purchases or a $200 dress, you know? So it's definitely been a little bit tricky sales-wise just to continue to stay relevant as well as like, you know, reselling. Everybody's reselling now. So, which is why I'm more of the reworking side. But the economy has been stressful. And then engine repairs. So I had like over $10,000 of engine repairs earlier this year, like in
Oh,
January.
wow.
And like I said, I'm straight out of college. I didn't get a loan. Like
Yeah.
I paid for the bus with this prize money and then all of my savings that I saved from tip money as a waitress. So like that was really terrifying. And then my sister's video went viral and I got all the sales for tie dresses and then I evened out. So it really ended, like I said, I just got really lucky. It ended up
Yeah.
working out, but that probably would have sunk me if I didn't have all of those sales.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And that's kind of the hard part, right? It's like you kind of you take and appreciate the victories as you go along, because you're gonna have those moments where you're gonna have rough spots. And so yeah, I mean, I can imagine that, to be honest. Like the two biggest things, because like people ask me, obviously, as a sandwich themed clothing brand, they ask me like, well, why don't you have like a food truck or something? And my big thing always is, where am I gonna put it? And then what am I gonna, like, and that's kind of always the hard one. And it's like, okay, then the cost of all those things that go with it, because that is the those are the livelihoods of the good and the bad of having a mobile, a mobile boutique, right? Is the fact that you have that aspect of it, but then you also have to worry about it breaking down.
I mean, being completely honest, like I do events and I generally make the same amount of money as my fellow vendors in tents,
Yeah.
and I'm paying double or triple for
Because
the
you're
amount of
doing the
space
truck,
that
you have
I'm
to pay for
taking.
like truck space or whatever, or like food trucks cost. Oh, I never even thought of that. That, yeah.
And then just a place to store it. The insurance, I have to have liability insurance for people who come onto the bus since it's my actual storefront. I have to have auto insurance. Like it's definitely a lot of things that people don't think about when
Yeah.
shopping. Like I don't, they don't realize how much overhead there is. I didn't realize how much overhead there was going to be. I thought, this is my way out of overhead. I mean, it's great. I love it. Like it definitely, I think, sets me apart.
Yeah.
And people love it. Like it brings people joy, which I love. It's like become kind of a little like downtown Orlando, oh, there's the bus. which just like makes me happy that it makes other people happy.
Yeah.
So totally worth it, but
For
it's a lot of
sure.
work.
For sure. No, I mean, it's always going to be. I'm kind of curious, where did the name come from? Like, how did you come up with the name? Was it just one of those you're like, oh, I like this? And like, what did it come from?
Well, it was my eBay name, and I rafted down the Grand Canyon before I started college. So
That's
I was
awesome.
like obsessed with the Grand Canyon for a while, and at first I wanted it to be Canyon Culture because I thought I was gonna sell kind of like outdoorsy granola, Patagonia style. And then Culture was taken, so I was like, oh, I'll do Couture, and then it became my shop, like my name at the shop, and then it became my LLC. So
Well, I
it
mean, and it
really
makes
wasn't.
sense because you are upgrading a lot of things. You're making a couture, so I think that's awesome. I was kind of
Thank
curious, like trying to figure out like where how it kind of connected, and where it was. So that's kind of that's awesome.
A lot of people think that my name is Canyon, and they'll walk by the bus and be like, "Hey, Canyon," and I just like don't correct them. I'm like,
You're like, hi, hi.
like, is your name Canyon? No.
What?
Be cool.
So I know that so I also know that you do, one of the things I saw that you do custom shoes as well. Like you do custom painting shoes. And then I saw, are you, and you do the night, the cool thing is obviously, so is everything on your bus for sale? Like when you walk in, like, pretty much like you have everything in there for it to be for sale.
I think almost everything is for sale. There's like a macrame kind of hanging at the back that covers my back window, and I think that's the only thing that's not for sale. So some people think that the decor in there is just decorations because I kind of try to hide the tags strategically so they're not like glaring in your face. But I'm
I
like, nope,
gotcha.
everything's for
What
sale.
about, so are, is this now what you're doing? You do this full time? Is this your full time thing?
I've
So
been
then
full-time
we're
for
in
over 6 years.
season, Mark. Like we're in the season of, and obviously I try to make these evergreen, but to give you people an idea, like obviously fall season is like our favorite season for vendors. How many markets are you doing then a week? Because I'm assuming you got like, not only are you doing markets, but then you also have to create product, because as you're selling, you're gonna have to find. So you like, so tell me a little bit about how you kind of balance that of, of grabbing, of cre getting, outsourcing mark sourcing material, creating material, then selling material, and then, on the course of a week.
That's a good question. So I would say that I have been more strategic in my markets as I have learned what works for my business. So in the first year and a half, I was doing every single market out there, you know, the random markets on the side of the road. I mean, every market I could, just because I didn't know what was going to work and what wasn't. And so now I'm 2.5 years into it. I kind of know, okay, this is something that's worth my time. This isn't. So I used to be doing a lot more events. Like sometimes I'd be doing 5 events a week. And I've scaled back. So now I'm like happy at three markets a week. In December, that's going to be different because I'll be downtown at the holiday market. Then I'll probably be doing 4 or 5 a week again, just because
Yeah,
that's
that's the money
every small
maker.
business
Yep.
is prime time to like, you know, sell for Christmas. But it's definitely like a balance. There's sometimes where I have slower weeks that I do more making the inventory or more sourcing the inventory, and then busier weeks I have a stockpile that I can go to restock. So that's kind of how it works. I'll buy like a season in advance, so I have all my winter stuff right now,
Okay.
and then I'll buy for spring. So like it's kind of like I'm prepared, but I'm also always like the making of the stuff is what takes a while. That's where it's
Yeah.
hard to manage my time, and then I become working 24/7, sewing all the time at night when I'm cooking. Like I was in a 500-foot studio apartment, so I'd be like cooking and sewing and like all at the same time. Like my sewing area was like on my island because I didn't have any other space. I mean,
Yeah.
it was funny.
Wow. That's and that's kind of I was always wondering about that when you're like when you're trying to figure out where, because like I'll do more I so I have a full-time job, so I do full-time and I do the business
Okay.
on the side. And I
What do you
do
call that?
what was so my full-time job, I'm a corporate, I actually work for a corporate I'll just say I'm a corporate recruiter. I do totally nothing, has nothing to do with this
Okay.
in the defense industry. So like
Okay.
I'm totally like not, it's like two different
Interesting.
worlds.
Yeah.
I do this because I studied marketing and I wanted to use my degree, but I also because I wanted to use it as kind of like a creative aspect,
Yeah.
because my job is very processed and very like very regimented. So in this aspect, like I was like, hey, I really love my job, but I needed that extra outlet. And that's kind of where I've used that, be able to create that creative outlet. I didn't want to open a restaurant. So that was the big thing. That's the reason why everything is sandwich themed, because I'm obsessed with sandwiches, but I did not want to open a restaurant at all. So
Gotcha.
I totally get that. So now for me, like I do at least once a week, at least I get this at least this month. Pretty much it's like at least once a week I'm selling. And obviously when I get to December, then it'll be like twice a week,
Yeah.
at least, maybe even 3 times a week, depending if I can get in a Friday market, a Saturday and a Sunday type of thing. So yeah, so I totally understand that aspect of having to replenish and re-go, and have all of that. And especially since you're doing so many markets, it's even more because of that. 'Cause obviously, that means more people are seeing your product and buying your product. For me, they're buying online and, just like you, they're buying online and then also doing the other aspect of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a challenge, but
Yeah.
it's the fun part. It's like the shopping for stuff doesn't feel like work for me. It's the part that I enjoy. I don't think I'll ever get tired of it. And as
Yeah.
soon as I do, I'll see like a thrifting video on TikTok and I'll be like, oh, I gotta get back out there. So.
What do you do? What do you do for fun when you're not working on the van, working on the bus, or trying to get stuff ready or sewing? What do you do for fun?
Well, it's interesting because I used to sew for fun. That used to be my hobby,
Yeah.
but now my hobby is my job. And so sometimes I'll just take a break from everything that I have on me and just take some time to be creative and make something fun for myself. But when I'm not doing that, I really like the beach. I really like surfing, which is like the summer I took off because it was slow season and I didn't want to pay rent, moved into the bus, camped out by the beach, you know, and just surfed all day, like every day.
Yeah,
It
it
was
was
great.
amazing watching
So
your videos of you and like having like a hammock and just hanging outside the bus and just
it
kind of
was so
doing your
much
thing.
fun.
It's super, super, super fun. And that's when I realized you didn't have a bathroom,
Yeah.
because I, with and all
Yeah.
that stuff, which is kind of
You
crazy,
don't want
but
to know the answer to how I
yeah.
am figuring that out.
What advice would you give someone if they were wanting to start something?
I would say it just takes consistency, and that's also something I struggle with. You know, it's like I get down sometimes too because I'm like, oh man, I have like all these great products, and I'm posting reels on Instagram every day, and then my whole feed is just filled with these. Like, I'm sure since you're a marketing person, like almost like get rich quick schemes of like, oh, do this and you'll like go viral on TikTok. Do this and you'll go viral on Instagram. You need to do this, 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 and this. You know, and I'm like, okay, I'm like doing that, and I still have 4,000 followers, like, you know, and so it just like, I think it just really takes consistency, and it's not even about going viral. I have friends that have gone viral and it hasn't even resulted in sales. So it's
No.
like, I think you just have to be authentic and consistent, just get your stuff out there and be genuine. And I think that's what works for me.
No, I
You
think
know?
that's I think that aspect, I think people being able to see you, see what you're passionate about, what you're doing and what you love. I think those are all major things. I mean, those are all things that those are some of the things that I saw from watching videos that you did, and kind of seeing that. So I totally agree with you on that. Yeah, that's kind of that's always a tough one. What do you notice? And I'm just kind of curious, like speaking like vendor, like
Yeah.
do you notice that when you do markets and stuff like that you do get a client a rise on like Instagram like follows and stuff like that? Like, do you ever see anything like that that kind of perpetuates where you start seeing sign of an increase when it comes to that?
I would say I'll gain 10, 15 followers every time I pop up. But then you also lose followers, not necessarily when I pop up, but just on Instagram. So, yeah, I would say like little by little it's increased. And then if people don't follow me on Instagram, I've noticed that people like the bus is just eye-catching in general. So like even if they don't follow me on Instagram, they'll be like, oh, I've been in this, oh, I've seen this, you know, like very few people are like it's new to them anymore, which is interesting because like I think that, oh, nobody, I only have 4,000 like followers on Instagram or whatever, nobody knows who I am. And then I go somewhere and people are like, oh, I've seen this. Oh, my friend told me about this. Like, oh, I've been in here before, even though they don't necessarily follow me. So it's interesting.
No, that is interesting. And it does get it gets a little frustrating because you're like, well, why aren't you following me? Or why are you not this and that? I totally get that. And it's like, and trust me, I've been doing it for a while, so I understand where I try to turn my part of my brain off of not wanting to be like, well, why aren't you buying my stuff? Or why aren't you doing this? Because of the fact that at the same time, I'm like, well, I'll take it because I guess, as that consistency level goes, you start building that equity. And then the more people see it, there's something that'll trigger, they'll then share it or whatever. And then it just kind of like, or the mere fact that people are always kind of then talking about you,
It
and
definitely,
that's the word of mouth helps.
yeah, it gets a little discouraging sometimes when you do like a couple markets in a row that are really slow. But like I always tell people, you never know who you're gonna meet. You know, you could meet somebody that hires you for a private event or puts a big order in later. You know, it's like all marketing. I have friends that have done the market route too, and I have a lot of respect for them because they'll go out, make $0, and then a year later, they're like working all on custom orders because they have like a giant client base that they met just from talking to people. So it's, yeah.
That is the key. That's the one thing that I totally agree with you on. That's one of the things that I will obviously for me, that's where I get my energy from because of the fact that I get to interact, see people. People then get to see your passion for what you're doing. The cool thing is since you're making it, it's also one of those where you're like, oh yeah, I saw this. And then you can kind of tell the story. So then it kind of goes where they're like, they could see and they're like, oh wow. And then you almost sometimes you can grab a person more, even more because you're their your personality now and you're and what you're talking about, they see it. And then they're like, well, shit, I want to be able to support you somehow. What can I buy? What can I buy here that I can do?
It's
So
funny because
no.
some people really care about the story, and some people are like, I just like it, you know? And I'll be like,
No,
this
I
is
get it. I get it. And yeah, trust me,
fantastic. I don't care.
I totally understand that because it happens to me when it comes to like when I talk about a design and why I came up with this idea, and then they're like, yeah, that's great. I just like the Sasquatch. I don't really care about the Bigfoot and why you decided it was going to be called Bigfoot Subs and whatever. And I'm like,
But
okay, I
then sometimes you
guess.
get people who are like just want to support you, and like I have customers that like come by and buy something really tiny every time they see me just because they want to support me, like
Yeah.
not because they need it at all. And it just means so much.
Yeah.
And so it's like really, it's really like feels really good to have people like support your art.
No, I totally agree with that. I'm kind of curious about, I wanted to ask about one thing, because obviously you said you
Okay.
mentioned your sister is TikTok famous, which
Yeah.
I'll have to look her up. I may or may not follow her. Who knows? My 15-year-old thinks it's, you know, she thinks it's crazy because I like follow so many different people. But like, have you talked to her about what works for her and then what would work for you? Or like, have you noticed any trends or anything that you're utilizing on TikTok, or anything like that?
You know, I do talk to her. She's really good at giving advice. And she is very, very good at her job. Part of her success, I will say, like, is a little bit of luck because it just like she had one video go mega viral and get picked up. And like her client base or like her followers are very much New York centered and like very fashion centered. And it's just kind of like evolved from there. But she's very, very like strategic and very good at what she does. And she is always on it. And I have tried, you know, things that work for her, but they don't necessarily work for me because it's not like we're in very different niches of
Yeah,
the
no.
fashion industry. So, like the big, like her advice is consistency. And so that's like pretty much what I've just been trying to do is just keep going. It took her 5 years before she really, like she had a blog, took her 5 years before she went big. So
What
just got to keep trying.
when you say consistency, like how often? I'm always kind of curious about how people go with the idea of social on like an Instagram, TikTok, and all those things. Like how often are you posting on all these different on the different platforms?
Yeah, I could be better about that.
I'm in the same boat as you. That's why I'm talking with you, because like
yeah.
it's very easy. One of the things I've learned from doing this podcast for now and talking to, just because I love talking to other small businesses and like creating and just kind of like brainstorming together to help
Yeah.
each other, the one thing I realize is it's so easy for us, so easy for us to give advice to others but not take our own advice. Or
Yeah.
actually, or be at the same time, we're like, we're so close to something that you don't actually realize it.
Yeah.
And then I almost jokingly sometimes tell my wife or tell my friends, I'll be like, hey, just record me when I'm giving you advice so that I could hear it and go, oh shit, like I should be doing, yeah, that's what I should be doing too.
Yeah. I like right now I try to post like once a day.
Yeah.
But that's only been consistent for the last like 2 weeks. Previously, it was more like once a week.
Okay.
I know that reels are big. So this summer I like tried to do make as many reels as I could, even if they didn't have anything to do with, you know, fashion, for instance. I did a lot of like bus life, van life, you know, anything just to kind of get a video that could get some eyes.
Yeah.
Like, 'cause I feel like if people can relate to me, then they'll like relate to my product. So that's kind of my strategy is just kind of like show people my personality and like
Yeah.
let's be friends. And then like maybe they'll buy something. But honestly, it's just kind of like I don't really know what I'm doing, if I'm being honest. Like I
No,
don't.
and that's the hard part. Like, trust me, I'm always watching things. I know I saw, even though I studied marketing, like, and I know these some of these things, like I'm always trying to figure out like the number one thing that I keep hearing from talking to other people that do somehow either go viral or whatever, on social, or at least kind of have created something. The big one is obviously behind the scenes. Everyone loves to be able to see what you're doing, what you're creating, like when you're sewing, how you come up with certain things. They want to know that aspect of it. And I think, and then for me, sometimes, like even like me when I'm packing an order, because like I wrap my stuff like they actually look like a
Oh
sandwich
my
when you
gosh, that is
order.
so
And it comes in a
cute.
brown paper bag and all that stuff. So when I do
Cute.
things like that, I don't think about like, oh, I should record myself packing an order. I just think like
Yeah,
I'm
you're
packing
too
an
close
order
to it.
because you're too close
Not
to it.
that other people would
And
think it's interesting, you know?
correct. And people want to see that. And so those are the things where that's why I love having conversations like this, because like I think people would love, like I think it's awesome. Like that's one of the things I loved when I saw like the tie thing, because I was like, oh my gosh, like this is what she does and this is how it works. Same idea of like, hey, let's go thrifting with me. And you kind of like, it's one of those, I saw that as an aspect. But the other thing that I found that I saw recently that I thought was really cool was that I got from some like another guy who basically does like a he has like a clothing brand, but he does like online marketing videos, like type of thing about the brand. And he says, he's like, hey, he goes, what I like to do sometimes is he goes, I'll just videotape myself like little clips of my of things that I usually do. And then I just literally create like text over it. And like to me, my thing is like the fact that you know, these are some of the things that, like, right off the bat, and this is just me, just once again, my brain goes this way with you. Like, I think the fact that the information about the 80% of like the landfill, like, I think that needs to be like provided, like, when you're going and you're shopping, you see all these things, some of these things are going this way. I think the fact that you give 10% of your of what you do, you goes to a nonprofit. Like, I think that's another great way of being able to be like, hey, there's so many ways you can help. I think there's so many elements that you're doing and creating. And sometimes I think what I've kind of gathered and what I'm kind of trying to do, and I'm trying to practice what I preach right now, is recording the little things that you do on a day to day to then kind of create like, hey, these are some of the sights and sounds of the things that I'm doing. And maybe it's one of those where you're like you're sewing and you record the sound of it. And then you're kind of just giving like little like snippets of everything
Snippets.
To kind of create of what it is and what it takes to get ready or get ready with me to do a market, you know,
It's
things like
so
that.
mundane for me because I'm like, I've done this 1,000 times, you know, but
Exactly.
that's a good
And
point.
but those are things that I think people want to know, like, where do you, how do you go? What do you do? I love those aspects of it. Like, I love that was one of the things that I loved following when I was following you, when I started seeing, like, that's what I would like to look at is
Okay,
like all
interesting.
the different things that you're kind of creating your process because I do. I love getting into the mind of the creative. And I just think it's something that's I'm intrigued by it. Like, how did she go about and, you know, and do this? Or where did she come about with like, hey, these are the reasons why these are the products that I look for. I rather use this. And that's why my products also are maybe a little bit more expensive because I have they're a higher end product because they're going to last longer. You know, and things like that are some of the things that, you know, I appreciate from watching, you know, watching a video. But I think it's something that people would, I think enjoy. Like one of the things that I love to do, my favorite thing to do, and you have, if you look at my Instagram story, and I laugh because one of my friends just told me this weekend when I was selling at an event, they're like, "Well, I always know how well you did because I will look at your Instagram stories." Because what I do is, since all my guests literally get a bag, and I'll show you. This is one of my larger orders, but like a bag of it's like it comes in a
Cute.
bag with my stuff, and I take a picture of them holding the bag. And a lot of them obviously, and I write their name on the back. So like what I do is I take pictures. And then what I then do from that, and the reason I do it for a few reasons. One, put it on my stories to show all the amazing people. That way they also and then I also tell them, hey, I'm gonna put you on my Instagram stories. You should check it out and you could share it. And then they follow.
That's
And then
brilliant.
what I also do then is afterwards, all the pictures that I collected then now become a reel or something. And then I play music. And in that way, it's like my way of showcasing the event of like what people happened and the cool stuff. So like those are some of the things that I'm trying to like always take pictures of when I do it. I need to get better at like taking pictures because obviously when you're prepping, you're like, my brain does not think of like, oh, I want to do, let me show you how I'm prepping. No, I need to prep. I have an hour to whatever to get ready. But those are some of the things that I think work out that I think people are really appreciate and like. That
That's
may
good
be
idea.
something that might help you even more because you really have a fascinating brand and with what
Thank
you're doing. And so I think that people need to kind of understand like what it is that you're doing. And because you're not just like, hey, I'm buying vintage. You're like, you're actually like, I'm buying it. And then I'm also like, I'm accessorizing it. I'm upscaling it. I'm doing all these things. Come, you know, come check out what I do and how my brain kind of works because your brain is not like for you and me. I kind of look at it as creative people like us, like or others like creatives, our brains work differently than other people. And sometimes we forget that and we kind of need to share that some of that stuff. At least it's another form of content that you can create that people can kind of get a better understanding of what Canning Couture is.
Yeah, I would say like the first year I was in survival mode, you know, it was like, what is gonna work? I'm burning myself out. I'm doing so many things. Like, it's just like a hot mess. And so taking a break this summer and then coming back, I'm like, okay, I need to be very brand strong. You know, I need to invest in nice labels for my things. I need to have branded tags. I need to do this, and this, you know? And so it's like, I've tried to like lift it up a little bit, you know, be a little bit more upscale, a little bit higher end, you know, and figure out exactly who I am, what I want to present to people. And so it's scary because it's like, oh, this has been working for the past year. Are people still gonna buy things if I have nicer quality items, but they're a higher price? You know,
Yeah.
it's scary, but it's like ultimately the direction I think I need to go in. So.
That's always a tough one. Like, and that's kind of for me, especially for markets. Like, I try to do the entry point, and then I try to do like, kind of like the three tiers so you have it. And that's something that I try to do, because like that way it's not like I'm only just selling shirts and hats. I have stickers, pins, but like there's certain things like that. Out of curiosity, do you have like tags? Like, when you say tags and stuff like that, are we talking like sewn on tags somewhere on the clothes so that way it has like your name on it?
Yes. So
Okay,
everything
good.
I rework, if I'm proud of it, gets a tag with my label. Some things
Awesome.
it's
Awesome.
like kind of a misprint and I'll just sell it for really cheap and I don't
Yeah.
tag those because I don't really want to put my name on that. But
Yeah.
yeah, anything that I make has my tag in it. And then like I previously did recycled clothing tags. So they were like I would reuse them all the time. They had my like logo stamped on it and I was really strict on keeping to that. But now I just ordered some like tags that have my logo on them that I'm going to keep on the clothes so that when people take it home, they can give it as a gift and they'll see my logo. It has my Instagram on it. You know, they can find me later if they don't know like exactly who I am. But I'm not doing plastic, like the plastic little tag guns. So I'm sticking to that. No microplastics, but I am using paper.
Yeah, no, I get I
Little
use
things
a
like that.
no, I think that's great. I think that's great. And I think those are all things. And those are all things that, if you think about it, where you were from the beginning when you started and where you are now, it's that journey, right? And you just kind of like, they're pieces that you're just kind of adding along the way of like building as you start building that brand and that brand equity with people. And I think that's super important. So I think it's awesome. Sarah, you're doing a heck of a job. Like, seriously, like this will be my last kind of question. Like, how do you celebrate the successes? Or do you celebrate the
I
successes?
pay my rent.
Okay. That's that's a real answer. That's yeah, that's a real answer. Okay.
Yeah, be real. Like I'm breaking even. So like a lot of people think it's like really glamorous, right? Like, you know, it's very easy to see from Instagram, but like, you know, they think, oh, all small business owners are just doing great. It's like, no, we're like working for it. It
Oh
is a
yeah.
good month if I make it, if like I break
Yeah.
even. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
but like
No.
I'm open about it. It's just life.
Yeah.
I'm happy. So
But
that's
that
what
and that's the
matters.
key. You're happy. And I will tell you though, it does build up. Like, there is a build up that kind of goes. I mean, I constantly tell my daughter, especially when I like, I love hearing stories like anyone, like I when especially when there's like a new artist that comes out that's like supposedly new, you're like, they're not new, they've been doing this forever, it just took a while. Like, and I tell that to myself even more, because I'm like, well, my brand, I've been doing this for 10 years, but it's like, should I be bitter? Like, yes, I can totally judge myself and totally be like, I should be like nationwide everywhere by now, and I'm not. But at the same time, I'm like, I know I'm building. And every time I kind of doubt it, and I don't know if you ever get these moments when you get the doubt, does somehow like the universe kind of like answer back to you? Do you ever get those
Yeah,
feelings or
totally.
ever
I mean,
get
I think
those?
my whole brand has been the universe answering back to me, you know, buying the bus, winning the competition, like, you know, having the breakdown, getting the dresses like go viral, you know, it's all been like very much, you know,
Yeah.
serendipitous. So I have to
Yeah.
only think that like, you know, it's gonna work out. And honestly, you know, I don't know if the bus is going to be the for everything. I don't know if Canyon Couture is going to be the forever brand, but something from this is going to spark something else. And that could be my million-dollar idea. I just don't know. I just have to like continue to go for it. And like, I love it. So like, I'm not going to stop.
No, that is a perfect way to Perfect way to end it. I totally agree with you. That's kind of how I look at Deli Fresh Threads.
Yeah.
Deli Fresh Threads for me is a lightning rod, which allows me to do other things.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's because you're open to it. And I think that's absolutely, absolutely amazing. Sarah, thank you so much for taking time
Thank you for
to be
having
on me.
me. This
I
was
really
great.
appreciate it. Thanks. That's our show for today. Definitely check out Canyon Couture. Check them out online. If you're in Central Florida, look for the Blue Bus. You'll definitely want to do some shopping. You'll definitely want to check out some stuff. Definitely hang out with Sarah. She's awesome. We have actually never met, but I basically have been following her through social media. I will meet her most likely this weekend or at one of the markets this weekend, because I really do. I'm telling you, like, I think I'm very, very, like, I just loved hearing her story. And I'm so glad we got a chance to talk about it. Definitely check her out online. Go visit her. If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to subscribe, tell your friends. If you want to support my brand, check out Deli Fresh Threads. Obviously, I'm all about sandwich selfies. You give me those selfies all day. And thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion.